Okay, let's start with a word of prayer and then we'll get going. Join me in the presence of God. Father in heaven, we thank you for life. We thank you for liberty. Thank you for our nation. We thank you, Father, for the grace that you have shed on this country. Thank you for the men and women who have faced danger and suffered hardship to preserve this marvelous country. Father, how we pray that we'll use the freedom that we have today wisely, that we'll take the advantage and the opportunity to learn your word, to grow in grace, and to allow you to build us and mold us into men that are a reflection of Jesus Christ. Pray for these young men who are gathered here. I just ask, Lord, that you will use the many things that have been said, the classes that have been taught, the friendships that have been made, the activities that all have engaged in, to just play a part in changing the lives of these young men and bringing them closer to the man you intended them to be when you sent them into this world. We just pray that you use this time now. God, the Holy Spirit will stir our souls and open the word to us and challenge us in our faith. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, well, we've had a pretty good week, and we're coming close to the end, and it always amazes me how fast camp goes. Sometimes at the beginning, it seems like, you know, the end of the week is a long, long ways away, and then all of a sudden, the week's over and done. We've been talking from 1 Timothy, primarily, about what it means to be a good soldier of Christ and what it means to have courage in the battle. I really appreciated Mark's class yesterday when he talked to you about being a man. And I want to build on that a little bit today, but I'm going to use 2 Timothy to do it. So before we open our Bible, let me just ask you, if God has taught you something this week that you believe is going to make you a better man, and you'd like to share it, I'd love to hear it. Has anybody learned something this week that you think is going to make you a better man? Fear? Mm-hmm. Good. Because we all face fears. A guy who says he's not afraid is the most afraid guy. I ain't scared of nothing. No, you're afraid of being afraid. You're afraid of people knowing you're afraid. I have many fears in my life, but I try to use those fears as the target of where my challenge needs to go, where my focus and my training needs to go. How about you young men? You learn anything? Mm-hmm. Excellent. Very good. Sandra Malone was just telling me that her, I think she said it was her uncle, 90-year-old uncle, was broke into. His house was broke into at 5 o'clock this morning. Probably by some people that he disrupted in another home break-in 2 or 3 days ago. And he was armed, and he went to check, and as soon as he went to check, they ran out. So you never know when these things are going to happen. Anything else? Anybody else learn something? Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. Do hard things, guys. We need to toughen up in this country. We really need to toughen up. We need to toughen our mental attitude up. We need to toughen our spirit. All of us naturally like to choose the comfortable path. All of us would love to just sit on the couch and spend the rest of our days watching a good TV program, eating chips and, you know, drinking whatever we like to drink. That'd be great. But that's not real life. Real life is going to be hard. It's going to be harder than we expect, and therefore we need to train and prepare every day. Stop for just a minute and think about this. This is a little game that I've played pretty much through my life. What's the worst thing you can imagine happening to you? You don't have to tell me, but just ask yourself, what is the worst thing that could happen to me? The worst I could imagine. Now ask yourself this question. If it happened, would you be ready for it? Because if you're not, that tells you, you need to train. You need to get ready. All right? Those are some good things. Anything else? Some of you may feel like you haven't learned anything, but you may find out 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, it'll come back to you. You might find out within the next year it's going to come back to you. But I got a feeling we're going to see some things within the year like we've never seen before. We are living in amazing times, and there are some things that are happening around the world. You look at the nation of Israel. Israel is always God's indicator of what is going on in His plan. The nation of Israel today is hated by all the nations of the world. I just heard that they had some big activity in Spain. I forget what it was. And they banned any Jew from participating. This is the same kind of stuff that started happening before Germany began executing the Jews. We see this attitude of antagonism and this attitude of hostility toward Israel. You watch Israel and you watch the Middle East, because it's going to tell you where we are in God's time plan. All right, well, let's go to 2 Timothy, because that's our theme book. That's where we get our theme verse. And the theme verse, of course, is endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And we've been looking at some of the ways that we need to endure hardship, and looking at some of the ways that we can identify, how can I be a good soldier? Help me out here. As we think about the book, what was chapter 1 about? Anybody remember the theme? Chapter 1, the battlefield. Every one of us lives on a battlefield. Every one of us faces things we fear. Every one of us gets hurt in life. We get disappointed. Somebody betrays us. People lie about us. People take from us. Sometimes it comes down to actual physical attack. Life's a battlefield. Well, if I'm going to live on a battlefield, I better prepare. So what's chapter 2 about? Mindset. Someone define for me, what is a mindset? What do we mean when we say mindset? Okay, your state of mind in a situation. Mark went through the color code yesterday. If I live in condition white, which means I'm apathetic and indifferent to what's going on around me, I invite trouble. Criminals pick the people that they attack. And the people they attack are the people that are not alert and not aware of what's going on, and they don't look like they'll put up a fight. And when they see someone like that, they say, that's the guy I'm going to get. He's in condition white. He's just, you know, oblivious to what's going on around him, or especially young ladies, oblivious to what's going on around them. But when they see somebody who's watching all the time, I can't tell you how many times, the very first time I went to Africa, I went with Jody Brown and Kenny Nichols. And we were walking through an area, and we were in Nigeria the day that... Who's the guy in South Africa? His name escapes me. Mandela. The day Mandela was let out of prison, and there was a lot of feeling running all through Africa, and here are these three white guys in the middle of a packed marketplace in Africa. But I remember Kenny and Jody were walking along, and they were just kind of looking around and looking around, and I was very sensitive to the tension that was in the air. And so while they were walking along over here, I decided I'm going to walk over here. And I walked over here and I stayed just a little bit behind them. And as they're walking along, I saw three guys that came out of the crowd and just started following them. And they started closing in on him, and the three guys didn't know I was there, and all of a sudden they looked over and they saw me, and I just had my eyes on them. And as soon as they realized I was watching them, they just turned and went away. We got to be alert. So mindset. Mindset would be something like fixing our mind on a goal. What is my goal? Whatever your goal is in life, that's your mindset. If your goal is to take life easy, you have a mindset of apathy and indifference. If your mindset is, one day I'm going to be the target of somebody's hatred and hostility, and I better prepare myself, you have a mindset that says, I got to prepare today. You know the old saying, every morning in Africa, a lion wakes up looking for the slowest antelope, right? Every morning, every antelope wakes up knowing if I'm the slowest antelope, I'm the one that gets eaten. And therefore, every morning in Africa, when the antelope wakes up, he is running. And therefore, the application is, if you don't want to get devoured, you better wake up and be on the move. That's a mindset. It says, I'm going to prepare. I'm going to prepare today. I woke up this morning, got to bed late, felt tired, didn't really want to get up. But I got up, I went outside, and I ran a mile. And in the course of that mile, which was basically done in sessions uphill, 150 yards or so uphill, run up the hill, 20 push-ups. Walk down, run up the hill, 20 crunches. Walk down the hill and run up, push-ups again, only a different kind. Walk down, run up, again, crunches. You know, sometimes I just don't feel like doing that. It would be easy for me to say, you know, this coming October, I'm going to be 60 years old. It's time for me to sit back. It's time for me to take life easy. I don't need to do this stuff. I've done it all my life. It's time for me to enjoy life. Well, nothing gives me more enjoyment in life than knowing that if I'm the slow antelope, I'm going to get eaten, and so I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be on the move. We have to have a mindset. What was chapter 3 about? Training. If my mind tells me I need to be this kind of person, then I need to start training. How will I ever become what I want to be if I don't train in that direction? You young men need to think about this. God designed you as men to be the defenders. If you're a male, you need to become a man. There are many men in this country, males in this country, who never became a man. You need to become a man. And a man needs to be a warrior at heart. He needs to be willing to fight for what he holds dear, fight to protect those he loves, fight for the principles that he believes in. Every man. You don't have to be a Marine. You don't have to be in the Green Berets. You don't have to be a Navy SEAL. But you better be a warrior in your heart. Because you are going to have to fight. Your life is going to be an ongoing battle, and one of your biggest enemies is going to be that guy that looks back at you when you look in the mirror. Because you have appetites, you have desires, you have weaknesses, you have leanings that you need to get under control. If you want to win the battle out here, start on the battle in here. And start dealing with yourself and realize that there is an enemy within you and you better conquer that enemy and overcome that enemy because that's what becoming a man is all about. So we have a battlefield, we have a mindset, we start training, and that leads us to what? Attack. So we're going to look at attack. Just briefly, I'm going to look at a couple of verses with you. And then I'm going to make some applications and we're going to be done. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. I don't know where my whiteboard went, but what I do when I go through my Bible, and you'll see it if you look right here, see what my Bible looks like? You think I've ever been over that page before? A couple of times, maybe? My whole Bible looks like that. And you can go through. My whole Bible looks, and this is just a Bible that I started using about a year or so ago. You ought to see the ones that I used for 10 years. You ought to see the one I had in Australia for 10 years. I mean, it makes this look clean. When I find a key verse in a chapter, you know what I do? There's a little symbol right there. Can anyone see what that symbol is? You see what that symbol is? It's a little key. Key verse in that chapter. Every chapter has a key verse. It's the verse that unlocks the meaning of that chapter, and I draw a little key. Looks like a little skeleton key. If it's the key verse of the book, which is 2 Timothy 2:3, I put a little key, get my glasses on so I can see it. I put a little key, and then I put next to the little key the word book. That's the key to the book. Every chapter has a key verse. That's the key to the book. So the thing that unlocks the book is that verse, the good soldier of Christ. All the other keys help explain what that's all about. So the key for chapter 4 is verse 5. And Paul says to Timothy, here is Paul, an old warrior. I mean, this guy has scars from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He's been beaten. He's been abused. He's been starved. He's been shipwrecked. He's been scourged. He's been persecuted. He's been stoned. He's had all this stuff happen to him. Tough, tough old warrior. And he's saying to this young man, you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Four things here. If you're going to win on the battlefield, you got to go on the attack. And if you're going to go on the attack, there are four things you need. Number one, you need to be vigilant. Why? Because someone out there is hunting you. Someone out there is hunting you. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but I wake up many times and I think this. Someone out there is preparing today for the day that they will try to take from me something I own or someone I love. Somebody out there today is planning. They don't know me. They don't know who I am. They're just looking for the opportunity. But one day, we're going to meet, and they're going to try to take from me something that I love or something that I possess. I better be training for the day I run into that guy. Right? I know it's going to come. It already has come for me. I've looked down the sights of a firearm more than once at somebody that wanted to take from me what I cherish, what I love, or something valuable. It's going to happen. I need to prepare. Sometimes you don't have the luxury of that firearm. Sometimes you're in a foreign country. What do I do when I'm in a foreign country? I'm in Pakistan. I'm in China. I better be prepared. Because there's crime in those countries too. And someone there is waiting for me to show up, this rich white guy that's got all this money that they can take away from me. I've been robbed. I got robbed in Peru by the police. I got held up by two cops. Can you believe that? Two cops held me up, but I was prepared for them. I didn't have to shoot them. I didn't have to fight them. My preparation was I only took a certain amount of money out on the street with me. All the rest of my money was hidden where they couldn't find it, and I was helpless. But I had already prepared myself ahead of time. You know what? If I'd have gone out on the street that morning carrying all the cash I had, I would have lost everything, and I'd have been stuck in a foreign country. I just took a little bit, pocket money. They got that. It's okay. You guys can have it. Because I already outthought you at the beginning of this day. I already made a decision at the beginning of this day because you have to do it every day. I didn't know something was going to happen that day. But I prepared that day like I try to prepare every day. So be vigilant. When he says watch, the word means be alert, be awake, watch out. You be watchful in all things, endure afflictions. Some things you can't stop, guys. There are sufferings you're going to go through that you can't change. There's a very old saying, I think it actually originated among the Spanish, what cannot be changed must be endured. I'll stop whatever I can of affliction, but if I can't stop it, I got to suffer it. I have to endure it. So first you watch, you're vigilant. But then whatever you can't stop, you have to endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Why? Because every child of God has a responsibility to share the gospel with someone else. Young men, each one of you has a responsibility. If you're a child of God, if you're an unbeliever, you got no message to share. You have no hope to give. You have no answer for life. But if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a message the rest of the world needs to hear. Do the work of an evangelist. What does that mean? That just simply means with your friends, with your classmates, as God gives you the opportunity, share with them the message of Jesus Christ. Keep it simple. Faith alone in Christ alone. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son so that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. He who believes in Me shall never perish. I mean, those are simple verses. As many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the children of God, even to those who believe in His name. If you know one gospel verse, you have a message that can change somebody's life. It's not a matter of joining a church. It's not a matter of trying to do some good deeds to earn salvation. It's a matter of trusting in the Savior. Do the work of an evangelist. I just did the work of an evangelist right here. If any one of you is sitting here without Christ, you just heard the message that can change your eternal destiny. But it's up to you to respond to it. Because you have to believe it. So then the last thing He says is, fulfill your ministry. Now He's talking not about reaching the lost, He's talking about building up the faith of fellow believers. Every one of us has a responsibility to build the faith of those around us. To strengthen and encourage other believers. Why? Because they're also in a battle. And they're also suffering. Now I'm going to amplify on that tonight, and you'll be here, and so you'll get that. Turn with me back to 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. I want you to think about something here with me. In ancient times, during the Middle Ages, a very unique thing happened. They were terrible times. In those days, it was pretty much anarchy. They called it medievalism. Medievalism meant if you had a large estate and you were able to hire enough guys to fight for you, you had your own little kingdom. That was your fief or your fiefdom. And a guy over here had enough money to hire guys that could fight for him, and if he was strong enough to overthrow you, he took over what you had. Every city was fighting, every village was fighting against every other village for survival. Men and women that traveled on the roads would try to travel in crowds because you couldn't travel alone, you'd be robbed and killed. It was a violent, brutal, terrible time to be alive. And there were priests that stood in front of guys just like I'm standing in front of you, and they pointed to Jesus Christ and they pointed to King David and his mighty men, and they said, God did not create men to act like animals. God created men to reflect His glory. And they started urging the men to stand up and become men. And you know what happened? We began to see the appearance in history of the knights. And the knights were men who took a vow on the word of God that they would live their entire life developing the skills of a warrior so that they could defend the weak. Guys, it's time for the knights to come back. It's time for us to reclaim that heritage. You should think of yourself as someone devoted to becoming a knight. And those guys spent years and years and years in training. Most boys that wanted to become a knight, and usually their parents would initiate them into this, the parents would basically take an 8-year-old boy and they would take him to the castle and they would say to the head of the castle or the head of that particular city, take my son and adopt him and turn him into a knight. So he became what they called a page. A page was basically a servant. He became a servant in the house. He would serve food at meals. He would serve water. He would plow the fields. He would care for the animals and the livestock. He worked hard, but part of the payback for becoming a servant was that they began to teach him the skills of knighthood. They would give him a wooden sword and a wooden shield, and they would allow him a certain amount of time each day to be trained by a warrior. And they began practicing the skills of the battlefield, the skills of the warrior class. By the time that 8-year-old boy became about 14 years old, if a knight saw him and said, that guy's going to make a warrior, he would go and claim him as his own, and he went from being a page to being a squire. A squire meant that you were halfway to becoming a knight. Now you no longer had to dig potatoes, you no longer had to sweat in the field, you no longer had to just care for the horses. Now you became the servant of a true warrior, a true knight. He traveled with that knight. He watched over the knight as he slept. He became a personal bodyguard to that knight. He cared for that knight's horse. He carried that knight his food. He polished that knight's armor. He sharpened that knight's sword. And he began now to really plunge himself into the skills of becoming a warrior. If they went to a battlefield, the squires, every knight would sometimes have 3 or 4 or 5 squires that would travel with him. If he fell on the battlefield, it was their job to run to the battlefield and literally defend him with their own body. And they began, little by little, to enter into combat. And as that knight saw that they were able to stand in more and more difficult places, he would begin putting them in the battle. And they would follow him. By the age of about 21, somewhere between 18 and 21, about the time most of our young men go into the military, if that knight saw, or if the lord of the castle saw that he was ready, he would say, it's time for you to become a knight. You know what they did? The young man was given a sword, a new sword that had never been used, or maybe a sword that was from a brave warrior that had died. They would give him that sword, he would go into the church, and he would lay that sword on the altar, and he would spend the night in prayer. Sometimes they spent 3 days fasting. He would pray through the night that God would give him the courage and devotion to be the kind of man he ought to be. The next day was the time of his knighting. And that's where they would take that sword and he would place his hand on the Bible and they would say, do you vow to commit yourself to the code of knighthood? They would ask him several questions. He would say, yes, I promise on the authority of the Word of God that I will be this kind of man. And then they would take that sword and they would do the dubbing ceremony, which they tapped him on the shoulder. In the earlier days, they actually took the sword and struck a blow on the side of the head. It was painful because it meant your life now is going to be a life of pain. Then later they made it a little gentler and they just tapped him on the shoulder and they said, I dub you knight so-and-so. He would rise and he would take the sword. He would walk outside the church. He would mount his horse. They'd have a big feast. Everybody would have a great party. And he would mount his horse. And when he left, he was in search of trouble. He was looking for thugs. He was looking for highwaymen. He was looking for people that were plundering villages. He was looking for someone who was attacking women and children because his whole purpose in living was to defend the weak. Now, I've told you that whole story to ask you this question. If things were like that today, would you be willing to go through that process? Because we are living in such a time and you need to go through that process. And that process is going to begin by you becoming a warrior in your heart from studying the Word of God. Young men, listen to me closely. Someday, you are going to be in a situation where someone is being attacked. Could be you. Might be someone else. Someday, you're going to be in that situation. If you found yourself somewhere in a situation where you saw a woman being attacked by 3 guys and you're there alone, what will you do? Because it will probably happen to you. What will you do? The one thing the knights were trained Their mindset was this: my job is to challenge injustice. My survival is up to God. A knight would never turn aside from the need to enter into battle, no matter how many people there were he had to fight, because that was his job. If he was alone, he went at it alone. Didn't matter if there were 10 guys there. If he died in the attempt, he died the death, an honorable death of a knight. In order to have that kind of mindset, guys, you have to have a code of conduct. Basically, what Paul gives Timothy there in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5 is a code of conduct. But I want you to see another code of conduct. This is the one that I chose for me and my family. When we were living in Australia, I called my family together and I said, this is the code of conduct for the family. And we find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Look at verse 13. First thing, watch. The word watch means be alert. Be vigilant. Right? Means you know what's going on around you. Second thing, stand fast. Another way to say stand fast, never back up. Never retreat. Never flee in the face of danger. Stand fast in the faith. Third, be brave. The Greek word that's used here is andridzo. It's the word for manliness, and basically what he's saying is be a man. Be a man. What does it mean to you to be a man? Be strong. This is in the another command, but it's actually in the passive voice, and it means be strengthened. Be strengthened by God. Be strengthened by His Spirit. Be strengthened from His Word. Receive the strength that's available to you. And the last verse, let all that you do be done with love. Let all that you do be done with love. There was a guy named Saint Bernard. He wasn't a dog. And Saint Bernard wrote about the knights that lived in his time. He said of the knights that lived at his time, they are as meek as lambs in their conduct with those around them. But in battle, they are fiercer than lions. He said, as I observe these men, I find it hard to describe them, to say whether they are warriors or priests. Think of that. A warrior or a priest. Someone who was gentle, someone who was loving, someone who was kind, someone who was protective. But you dare not challenge them. I'm going to boast a little, but not in me. Any of you ever heard of a guy named Rob Roy? Any of you see the movie Rob Roy? Rob Roy was a swordsman in Scotland. He was sort of an outlaw, but he was an outlaw in the Thomas Jefferson sense. Thomas Jefferson said, when tyranny becomes law, then resistance becomes duty. If tyranny becomes the law of the land, then it is your duty to resist that tyranny. And Rob Roy did that. And he was a great swordsman. And they've made movies of him. Sir Walter Scott wrote a book about him. And it's very interesting because in the book by Sir Walter Scott, there is a story. And of course, when they made the movie of Rob Roy, did you see the movie of Rob Roy? You remember, what was the guy's name? The swordsman that was kind of a faggot? His name was Cunningham. Mm-hmm. You remember that? Well, they twisted the story. Rob Roy was only ever beat in swordsmanship one time. And it was by my ancestor, Henry Cunningham. Henry Cunningham was only about 23 years old. Rob Roy by this time was probably 35, in his prime. Rob Roy came to the estate of a great nobleman, and there were many knights and warriors that were gathered there, and there was a young man that was there that was so gentle and so kind and so polite and so courteous that Rob Roy called him a poofter, which is the same thing as to say a faggot. And the young man challenged Rob Roy to a duel. Now, Rob Roy was famed and feared. So the friends of Henry Cunningham said if Henry goes out and fights Rob Roy, he's going to be dead. So they took his sword and they hid it. And he raged through the hall saying, "Who took my sword? Give me my sword back. Where's my sword?" And he couldn't find his sword. So he looked on the wall, and hanging on the wall was a rusty old sword that was hanging there as a decoration. And he grabbed it down. Meanwhile, Rob Roy had gone to the battlefield, and he was walking back and forth on the battlefield, swinging his sword, acting as if this was just going to be child's play. But Henry Cunningham was not only a guy who had good manners, he was a guy who had trained for the field of battle. And when they walked out and met in the middle of the field, and it's recorded, as I said, by Sir Walter Scott, it's also recorded by someone else, and I forget who that was. When they met on the field of the battle, Henry Cunningham attacked so fiercely that he drove Rob Roy completely off the field. That's the kind of warrior I want to be. That's attack. That's ferocity. That's skill. But it's skill that doesn't need to boast. See, all of us should learn something about our heritage, because I'll tell you, in every one of your lineages, there are people that are scoundrels and there are people that are heroes. You have people in your heritage and in your history who are great, noble heroes. You also have people who are worthless scoundrels. And I've got a whole bunch of them in my family. We don't like to talk about the black side of our family. You know, the ones that turned pirate and the ones that were thieves and the ones that were, you know, pimps and or prostitutes or whatever. We don't like to talk about that, but we all have it. But the reason understanding our heritage is important is because you will find people who are of your flesh and blood, people who are your ancestors, that were great and noble people. Every one of you have them. We all have them in Scripture. You have a closer relationship to David, the king, the warrior, than you have to any physical flesh and blood relative that you have, because you have a spiritual connection. Mark's been talking about Joshua. You're related to Joshua if you're a child of God. There's your lineage. If you can't find out about your own heritage, study the heritage in the Bible and realize this is my heritage. Caleb, I'm related to Caleb. So are you if you're a child of God. Isn't there something in you that wants to be like that man? 80 years old, and all those years I can just see Caleb keeping himself tough, keeping himself fit, keeping himself disciplined, keeping himself trained. These guys didn't just miraculously get the skills of a warrior. They trained, they practiced, they worked, and I can see him when the Israel is marching through the wilderness and they're camped, and he grabs one of the young men and he says, "Let's go out and practice." And there they are with their swords and their shields and their practice. And why? Because he's saying, one day we're going into the land. And when we go into the land, the one place I want is the place everybody else was afraid of. I want to go and kick some giant's butt. You have to reach pretty high, but that's the kind of man he was. There's your heritage. There's your lineage. Young men, I throw this out as a challenge to you. You can accept it or you can reject it, but I'm going to tell you this. If you do not become a warrior in your mind, in your heart and your soul, and in your body, the day will come that you'll regret that you did not. It's too late when you find yourself in danger to develop superpowers. This doesn't happen. You have to begin preparing now. You have to begin training now. You have to begin toughening yourself now. But as I told you, the first enemy you have to learn to defeat is the one right here. You have to learn to say no to yourself. I would love to eat that, but I'm not going to eat that. Not good for me. I would love to do that, but I'm not going to do that because that's not good for me. This I really don't want to do, but I know it's going to make me tougher. I'm going to do it. And begin developing a code of conduct. Write up your own code of conduct. Find a code of conduct in the Bible. Somewhere, get a standard that you intend to live by. And make your descendants proud of you. Make your ancestors who are believers in Jesus Christ proud of you. You know the guy that wrote the song Amazing Grace? We heard it on the bagpipes. By the way, being Scottish, when I hear bagpipes, my blood begins to boil. I want to go to battle. When he started playing Gary Owen, that was Custer's battle song. Where's my sword? That's just my heritage. What is it that will make and stir your spirit? What is it that will stir your soul? The guy that wrote the song Amazing Grace, who was it? Anybody remember? John Newton. Anybody know what John Newton did? He was a slave trader. John Newton took ships to Africa and bought slaves from the Arabs and hauled them back to England, made them slaves. And one day an amazing thing happened. John Newton went down to take slaves, and while he was on African soil, he got captured by the Africans. You know what they did with him? They made him a slave. And he lived as a slave for about 6 years, being beat and laughed at and mocked and made fun of and working hard with no food. One day God arranged it. While he was a slave, by the way, he prayed to God. He hadn't prayed in forever. Prayed to God and he said, God, if you will deliver me, I will devote my life to you. And one day God delivered him and he was set free and he came back to England and he worked to abolish the slave trade. And he wrote the amazing song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Do you know where he got the tune for Amazing Grace? When he was hauling those slaves in the hold of his ship, they were singing their songs. Those people that were being abused and tormented and chained were down there in the hold and they were singing their song and he would listen to it and sometimes they would just moan it and they were going, and he kept hearing it. And one day he said, I'm going to write a song to honor those poor people that I abused and to thank God for what he did for me. And he became a warrior to defend and help those people. What would it take for God to change you and me into the kind of men we need to be? Whatever it takes, we need to go through it. Young men, have you ever prayed this prayer? God, I want you to take me and I want you to mold me and make me into the man that you want me to be, and I pray that you will do whatever it takes. If you've never prayed that prayer, I want to encourage you to pray it. Because God will take you serious. Whatever it takes, Father, I want you to do it in my life to make me into the man that you want me to be. And God will begin to work in your life and you'll go through some hard things, but those hard things will mold you and make you a warrior for Jesus Christ. I don't know any better way to say it. My heart aches for some of you because I think you could care less. I can't make this mean something to you, but one day it will. One day it'll be the most important thing you ever heard of. One day you're going to find yourself saying, I wish I'd have listened. But just remember, as long as there's breath in your lungs, it's never too late for you to reach back and lay hold of something you may not have valued at the time and bring it up into your life and say, I'm going to cling to this and I'm going to make it real. And I'm going to make it live in me. I hope you'll do that. I hope you'll choose to become a knight. I hope you'll devote yourself to take a stand for truth, to defend the weak, to face whatever violence needs to be faced, if it's for the protection of those who are unable to defend themselves. Become a knight, but be a knight of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these young men. I thank you for the amazing potential that's in their life. Lord, I know that they just don't see what they could become, the kind of warrior, the kind of hero that they could become. But that's what they were made for. I ask, Father, that your Spirit will somehow stir their soul regarding the things that we've spoken to them about this week, the things that Mark and others have taught that I've tried to share with them. And I pray that you'll wake them up. I pray that they'll begin saying, I'm going to train today. I'm going to train tomorrow. I'm going to start some simple plan to strengthen my heart, my soul, my mind, and my body to become the man I need to be. And above all, I'm going to trust in the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and devote my life to your service. I pray that they'll do this. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Young men, thank you. I've enjoyed being with you.